Beth Kobliner has written a terrific new book called Make Your Kid a Money Genius, Even If You're Not. It's a follow-up to her best-selling Get a Financial Life, which was a personal finance book for people in their 20s and 30s. This goes even younger than that, and I think is part of what we need more of in America, which is financial education. So I've asked her to join me here to talk about it. Hi, Beth. How are you?
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great. Why don't we have more financial education in this country?
I think that, historically, in the 1920s and 30s and 40s, some sort of budgeting and saving advice was incorporated into economic classes in high school. Then in the 60s, we had home ec. But in the 70s and 80s, we got rid of home ec, and then it was just left on the table. And no one teaches the basics of how to save, how to invest, how to not get into deep credit card debt. And it's really just a terrifying thing that we're sort of sending a bunch of young people to school who are not learning the very, very basics.
And the problem with not learning it at school is they're also not learning it at home because their parents don't know about money.
Exactly. You know, and it's society, I think, just has, you know, de-emphasized understanding this, understanding basic money matters, and it's very important to learn, you know, calculus and all kinds of topics. But for some reason, when it comes to basic finance, there was this notion, even in the last few years, well, how do we know it'll change kids' behavior? How do we know it really works? It was behavioral economists, which is sort of a valid question, but it's like we don't really say, oh, how do you know teaching Shakespeare will help kids get a job one day?
Right.
I mean, you know, perhaps, you know, not everyone will absorb the lessons, but if you tell a kid the best thing you can do is put money in a tax-favored account when you're older, and, you know, that money will grow really quickly and it's called an IRA, and you just sort of hit them with a few facts that will make a difference in their lives, you know, those could really stick and change people and change society's ability to have financial security.
Absolutely. All those basics, you got to teach it early. Because,
right.
And by the way, we're not talking about, you know, how do I trade options? What's a derivative?
No.
We don't need kids to learn that sort of stuff.
We don't want them to know that. It's just basic, like, don't get into high-rate credit card debt. Don't charge something that you don't have enough money in your wallet or your bank account to pay off. Do not get into debt. You know, if you have to take student loans, take federal student loans. Or pick a different college. You know, there are many, many options out there. And I go through every step in my book of, you know, what about inflation? What does that mean? How do you, you know, guard against that? How do you protect your money if you want it to be safe? And what one person said, which really sort of made my day, was that she said, you know what, the secret of this book is it's, you know, for parents to teach kids, but it's also teaching parents.
Yep.
And I feel that is extremely important because the number one influence on our children's financial lives is parents. We know that from surveys. We know that from studies. So we really need to make sure parents know this and then teach it to their kids.
You know, you mentioned credit cards a couple of times, and I think this is a huge issue that adults need to understand better, that whole notion of pay it off every month or the interest is going to kill you, et cetera. But particularly when kids are in high school and college, a lot of parents will let their kid get a credit card. And that's where the problem begins because they don't understand the difference between the credit card and actual cash money, right?
Exactly. I mean, I've been going around the country. I started on my book tour. I'm coming to St. Louis in March.
Yes, on Monday,
so
March 13th.
I'll reach out to you guys again on March 14th.
March 13th.
I'm going to be speaking.
Yeah.
March 13th, actually.
Yep.
But at the St. Louis County Library.
Yep.
Really important to make sure kids understand and parents understand the problems that you have when you get into debt and how it's sort of an albatross. It stays with you for years and years and years. And I think that, you know, the Obama administration in 2009 changed the law. You can't get a credit card on your own unless you're 21 years old or you have income or a parent co-signs. And the problem is that parents are co-signing for a credit card for their kids, and their kids, A, aren't building credit, B, when they mess up, they're going to possibly mess up their parents' credit, and see they're not learning that money, you know, things cost money. And a lot of, you know, we're realizing kids don't even understand that it's all being done with swipes of cards and now Apple Pay and Venmo, and they're not seeing cash. And I really think this is a problem that we know from research there's the pain of paying. When you pay for something in cash, you feel it. When you have to count out those dollars, it's harder to do. And by not giving that experience to our kids, they're really losing out on understanding what money is.
Yeah, you have a great example in the book of a kid who's going to the mall to buy, I don't know, new pants or whatever it is.
Right.
And the parent says, okay, here's my credit card, but remember, don't spend more than $50 or, you know, whatever the number is. You say, that's not the same as giving them $50.
Exactly.
What's the difference?
Well, if you give a kid a credit card and you say, okay, you know, it's my card, I want you to spend $50. First of all, if they spend $53, they come home, you'll be like, oh, I'm so proud of you. You didn't spend so much more than $50. But if you give them $50 in cash and the bill is $53, they're going to have to put something back and they're going to have to make choices and they're going to, oh, right, I forgot about tax. I have to factor that in. All of those real life lessons have an impact. And I think taking away that experience of learning that you have to pay for things, you have to pay for it in cash, and having a parent's credit card is just such an artificial situation that will not teach them anything.
How early do we start the financial education?
Right. Well, it's interesting because my favorite project I've ever done is I taught Elmo about money on Sesame Street. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of research that went into that. And we really know, there's great research out of University of Wisconsin, that by age 3, kids could really understand some basic money concepts. They could understand exchange. You give money for something and you get it back. They could understand value. And they could also understand needs and wants. Like, we need milk. We really want chocolate milk. And let's go to the store and think about the things we really need and spend our money on that, and maybe we can buy one or two wants. And those kind of discussions could start at age 3, because by 7, Cambridge University in England found, they looked at a lot of research, and they found that by age 3, some of these behaviors are actually set, like impulse control, and you really need to make sure to be focusing on this with young kids. Again, not buying them a thing at the cash register because they whine or cry for it, but really starting to talk more about, nope, we're not going to buy that today. And nope, you know, that costs money. And you can't lie. You can't say, I don't have my money on me, and then use your credit card, you know, in the next minute at the Starbucks, because you'll be busted. You know, your kid will be like, wait, you said you don't have money. So you have to be honest, but you also have to be direct and tell your kids, nope, we're not going to buy that.
Yeah, and that notion of impulse control is so important. You know, when you start earning money, okay, now I'm making money, so I can go out and get all the stuff I want. Well, wait a second. You're going to want stuff next week, too, and you're going to be out of money.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's interesting because I've written about this, and there's a lot of research about it, but sort of hitting the road, you know, I've been to about 5 cities, went to Atlanta and Detroit, and I think that I'm hearing from parents, yeah, my kid keeps buying, you know, apps on my phone. And I'm like, well, give them cash if you're giving an allowance. And they'll say, oh, I do give them cash, but I let them use my phone charge card, and then they pay me back. And that's a mistake. I think we're sort of, parents are really at a point now where they're kind of giving into technology and all the kids are doing it. And I think it's really a detriment to children not to be using cash and learn that we can't get what we want the minute we want it.
You mentioned the A word, allowance. Do you think that allowances should be tied to work in the house? You know,
no.
The stuff a kid has to do, doing the dishes, taking out the trash, walking the dog?
Right. Well, it's interesting because this is like the question, the burning question. And I looked at the research, and there are about 24 reports, academic reports on allowance. And some show it's great for kids because it gives them autonomy. Some shows it's not good for kids. They feel entitled. But we do know that tying allowance to chores is not a good idea, because we know from a University of Minnesota did a study, and it's very much about giving a child responsibility and giving them chores, whether you're walking the dog or making your bed or clearing the dishes. You're part of a family. And by doing that, you're accepting responsibility, and we're all in this together, and we're a team. And that responsibility you feel of doing it, not some, you know, external thing like, oh, we're going to give you $5 every time you make your bed, but you're doing it as part of family. That feeling you have is one predictor. You know, giving kids chores at young ages, we're talking 5, 6, 7, that is one predictor of your success in life in terms of whether you're going to graduate from school or whether you're going to start a career. And it's very important that we give kids some sense that it's a responsibility and it's part of being a family, rather than you're going to get rewarded. And also kids are going to negotiate, like, it's not worth it for $2 to clear the dishes. Forget it. You know, we want to, you know, give them the responsibility. And if you want to give allowance separately, that's completely fine, but don't tie it to regular chores.
Yeah, I don't hold myself up as an expert on this in any way, but I just know that I was 30 years old before I learned anything about money, and it's because my parents ended up getting ripped off by a bad financial advisor.
And
And so I determined I'm going to do something about it for myself and for them. And then when I had my daughter, we tried to raise her with a lot of the concepts that you're talking about. And then when it got to be time for her to go to college, you know, we're paying for the dorm, we're paying for the meal plan, but, you know, she needs other money as well. And my wife and I talked about this, and we decided instead of giving her money every month, we're going to give her a lump sum at the beginning of the semester and say, you know what? You have to manage this to live through the next 4 months. So if you run out in 3 months, you can't come back to us for more money. And
that's
something you espouse in the book, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, we do that with our kids, too. I mean, I think that at a certain point, you want to say to your kids, whether it's in high school or maybe college, and say, look, we're paying exactly what you said. We're paying for the dorm. We're paying for your health care. If something happens, you know, you have, if you're able to do that, you know, and actually working in college is, if a kid has an on-campus job, researchers, they're working fewer than 20 hours, it actually tends to boost GPA a little bit, which is interesting. But even if you know, whether you want your child to work during college or not, I think if you give them a set amount of money, you have to sort of specify, this is for trips with your friends, or any, you're going to eat out of the meal plan, you pay for that. Anything that you, and be very specific, and frankly, coming up with a reasonable number. I think it's hard for parents sometimes, because I think, well, I never got money from my parents, and I worked 4 jobs in college. And I think we have to get over that, get over our own financial baggage. If we decide to give our kid money, make it realistic for what they're talking about, and then not break the rule. I mean, my story is that our daughter wanted to go on a ski trip one spring break with her friend, a winter break, and she said, oh, and she had to figure out the cheapest way of getting there, and she ended up taking, you know, a 12-hour train ride rather than a plane ride so she could save herself $200. And part of me was like, I want to pay for the plane and not have her be on. And my husband, we both talked about it. We're like, no, that's the point of all this. We have to come up with a number, and they make those choices. And those choices are so powerful, and she felt good about it.
You know, you mentioned after-school jobs, not just when they're in college, but they're in high school. That's a great time to teach them the concept of paying yourself first, isn't it?
Yes. That's an important one. You know, whether if you have a regular paycheck, or, you know, if you're paid in cash, or whatever it is, if you're a young person. And I really, and this is going to sound a little kooky, but if your family is able to afford this, if you're in high school and you earn money, say, in the summer or at a part-time job, putting that money, if you can, a small amount even, into a Roth IRA is such a smart idea. First of all, when you apply to college, colleges look at the money in a child's account, and they expect you to contribute more of that money than even a larger percentage of that money than the parents' money. So if you put it into, a kid puts the money into a Roth IRA, then you can shield that money, and the college won't expect you to contribute that to college in many cases. So saving that money, encouraging your kids, say, look, put away, you should save 20% of that money or 30%, whatever it is, encouraging them to get into that habit is so valuable.
And of course, then you can give them the whole story about, do you want to be a millionaire when you retire? Well, here's how you do it. You start when you're 14.
Exactly. I mean, even, I love example, if you saved at age if you're age, let's see, if you're age 10 and you save a quarter a day and you somehow invested that money and you're getting 7%, a quarter a day will give you more than $50,000 by the time you retire. And, you know, all these numbers are, of course, you know, we don't know exactly what the return will be, but we do know that compound interest and when money is able to grow, you know, tax-free compounding has been called the eighth wonder of the world. It grows exponentially quickly.
Yep.
And you don't want to miss out on those early years because the money really, really grows.
Beth Koebleiner's book is called Make Your Kid a Money Genius, Even If You're Not, and it is for kids 3 to 23. She's going to be in St. Louis talking about it at the St. Louis County Library on Monday, March 13th at 7 p.m. You can order the book on Amazon or anywhere else you buy books right now. It is a great read and a great resource for making sure your kids are more financially literate than you were because your parents didn't know what to tell you either.
It's true.
Beth, I appreciate your time today. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, it was great talking to you. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.